Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Welcome back to Talking Hockey, episode 115. We got Luke, Martin, and Eric here. No Ty again because he's apparently quit. Got a girlfriend now and is busy with her, supposedly. I don't actually know.
He says he said he has softball, but I think all Ty has is hardballs.
Yeah. As soon as Ty gets a girlfriend, he's outie on it.
Not even a girlfriend.
It's undefined just like
thing. A girl
a
thing.
Pining for the fjords. Type deal.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're going to have a good episode without him. And we got a bunch of coaching moves that went on, which I feel we will have to talk about.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Bruce Cassidy to Vegas. John Tortorella back behind the bench at in Philadelphia with the Flyers.
Trotz remains
unsigned. I believe it is confirmed, but I would, if someone wants to double check, maybe producer.
I've only seen that he's been offered the position.
Yeah.
And more negotiations are required. But I mean, that normally ends up that they go there, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's probably. I mean, look, we'll assume as in he's got the job, but you know, anything can happen. We'll talk a little bit playoffs because Tampa versus Colorado game one is. Right after this recording, literally. So
Brayden Point is playing.
So that's big. We'll see if he's up. You know, if they're playing him kind of injured, you know, like the way Stamkos was.
Who cares though? Really, like he's playing and Kadri's not. That's huge.
That is huge. That's what I was going to say. So we'll talk that. I guess let's start with Tampa, Colorado, since that's the most fresh thing on everyone's mind.
This man's just breathing onto his... If anyone's wondering what that heavy breathing was, that was Martin cleaning his glasses.
Yeah, that was interesting. Actually, before we start talking Tampa-Colorado, let's talk Rangers-Tampa, because I think the last time we recorded, the series wasn't over yet.
We haven't recorded it over 2 weeks.
So. Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, we definitely haven't.
Was the series even done by then?
No,
it but wasn't. We knew where that was going. We knew what was happening there. Rangers lose 4 games in a row to Tampa after winning the first two. By the way,
it was like kind of foreseeable, to be honest. Like, it was kind of like Tampa was like holding back. They were still like.
They got off to a rough start. They were getting their feedback.
Like, they're 8 days off. Yeah, they had eight days off, or eight to nine days.
You know,
Martin and I just want to say the series went exactly as I predicted on that previous episode we did for prediction. I said in 6 games, and I said Rangers start off good and fall off to Tampa at the end, and that's exactly what happened. So.
Yeah. Rangers were a weak opponent in the semifinals. Like that.
Man, I was told they're really good. I was told that they are fantastic. They definitely don't get carried every game by Shesterkin.
Yeah, there's two weak teams in the finals. Edmonton wasn't exactly great, and
Rangers. New York can only score on their power play.
I mean, to bring in just how bad the Rangers were. So someone tweeted this. The five worst 5v5 playoff performances during the analytics era in terms of expected goals. The Rangers had the 39% expected goals rate at 5v5.
Against Tampa? Or against this entire playoffs?
The playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely brutal. It's actually like it's as bad as you basically see anytime. I think, remember when the Blackhawks got swept by, was it Minnesota? I'm forgetting.
I think it was swept by St. Louis the year St. Louis won or something?
It was one of those years, and Blackhawks had like a 37 or 38% expected goal share at 5v5 for context for just how bad the Rangers were. So I think it kind of goes to show, you know, and all the other teams that had that expected goals rate, by the way, like as low. So it's Wild 2018, Avalanche 2010, Blackhawks 2020, and Predators 2008. Everyone's in that range of like 36, 37, 38% expected goals percentage. They all lost in the first round, except for guess who?
New York Rangers. Well, that's why it annoys me to no end that think, like that rain to Rangers fans or fans in general that think the Rangers were a good team. They were objectively not a good team. They were power play goal merchants. They got awesome, there off the though. Pack of Shesterkin, and they are not a great team. Like they got there facing Pittsburgh, who was massively injured. Like,
and outplayed them
insane.
Significantly still, despite that. Yeah.
Pittsburgh got the short end of the stick there for sure.
I loved it in the first two games that they were chanting Shesterkin's better.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I mean, like those guys, they're both from Russia, aren't they? So they're probably going to be at, like the next World Cup together for sure. Like I'm sure they're friends.
100%.
But I had a conversation with someone from work and I said, the Rangers are not a good team. They suck. They overperform in every category that they underperform in. The only thing that keeps them afloat is their power play and their goaltending. And he's so, like, man, like
to add on to your point.
No, Luke? Stop talking. Okay, I'm finishing. And then he said, dude, the playoffs is much more than just the numbers. And I'm like, yes, I know that. I know it's much more than the numbers, but like, this is what I always come back down to. If bad process should yield bad results, good process should yield good results.
Exactly.
The Rangers are a bad team that yielded good results. They are not good.
Yep. They're not built well. And to emphasize Luke's point, Shesterkin had the best playoff run in analytics history. So he saved 23 goals above expected throughout the playoffs. 23 goals over... how many games? Six.
You know what?
Seven.
It was seven,
and...
seven, six.
Yeah, seven, seven.
So 20. A goal over a goal game.
You know what that's scary for? Fucking Colorado, who's going in with fucking Francouz.
No, Kemper's playing tonight.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% Kemper's playing. That's also scary because Kemper is shaky.
So basically, like this, and I think Shesterkin's a very good example. Like at the end of the day, playoffs can just come down to goaltending, and the Rangers, who literally were expected to score 39% of the expected goals while they're on the ice at 5v5, still managed to make it to the conference finals with their goalie basically saving over a goal per game more than expected, which is an insane amount. And
I don't get why people get frustrated. Well, I mean, I do. I see why they get frustrated when people say the Leafs versus Tampa was the Eastern Conference Finals. But, like, I don't know.
And Vasilevskiy would need 13 goals saved above expected in the finals to catch him if he wants to beat him. So that's
I know. And Vasilevskiy has great numbers now. After the Toronto series, he looked pedestrian. I don't know if it was Toronto being good and finding out his weakness or if it was Vasilevskiy just not being good. But I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that it was the Leafs that was able to put numbers on him and not the other two teams. I don't know what it is. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
it was
take for that like, what you will. I honestly think the Avs should beat Tampa. Like, player for player, I think I've watched seven of the
Avs games. If you ignore goaltending, yes.
If you ignore goaltending, I've watched like seven Avs games this year, this playoffs. Every single game, every single line is absolutely buzzing. I don't think I've seen a forecheck. I don't think I've seen a team that can play as consistently well every shift.
They haven't played at Tampa, though.
I agree. Like, that's what I
said. St. Louis was still a very good team, though, this year.
Yeah.
St. Louis was a very good
team. St. Louis was a really good team.
That was also their only competition, really. Like, Edmonton wasn't competition.
Edmonton fans are going to cut your neck. Oh, I forgot Nashville was even in the season.
Yeah. Everyone has because it was just sweet.
Four games.
Peace. Peace out. Right?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
but Tampa is just another level, man.
Tampa is another level, but also, like, you know, they also
they kill themselves to win games. Yeah. Like, and don't care. They come back next game dead and kill themselves again.
And the Rangers, but they did just come off a slightly more difficult series than Edmonton.
They've had 5-day break. Like, what?
It's the Rangers also one funny other stat to mention on the Rangers, and then we'll move on from them. But they scored one 5v5 goal in the final 215 minutes of play that series. A 5v5 play, one goal.
There was
215 minutes.
I feel like I sent it to the group chat, but it was like the last 2 minutes of game 6, I think, and Tampa. Holy man!
They only got like one shot against. Those last couple minutes.
That was an absolute clinic of a game that they put on for an elimination game in the last 2 minutes.
Also, Stamkos. Can we talk about Stamkos for a second? Ty writing him off. And then all of a sudden, 100-point season. 100 points. Dominates the regular season. 2 goals. Game 6 versus the Rangers. That snipe against
Vasilevsky
in the top right corner over his... pad was fucking unreal.
The guy's dialed. He's unreal. Like, he is the definition of a playoff performer.
And it but, and dude, he played showing
2 minutes in one of their cups and scored in that shift.
Exactly. And he's finally becoming a big part of the Tampa too, because the last two cups, they aren't his cups. They're really Kucherov, Point, Vasilevsky's cups. You know, like this is the first playoffs now.
He can say, you know, and he knows that he knows that, and perform. This is my time,
and especially because Braden Point's been out, right? Like, he's stepped up in Braden Point's
and Cirelli's so good, man. If Cirelli can beat McKinnon, I don't foresee it happening, because Cirelli got by Matthews at the end of the Leafs one.
Yeah,
I think any elite player will eventually come out of that shadow.
There's only so much Cirelli you can do. Yeah.
There is only so much you can do. But, like, I've read a lot of articles about, you know, is Tampa gassed after their third, because I think they played 80 playoff, no, not 80 playoff. Yeah, they played 80 playoff games in the last 4 years now, which is basically an extra season. But if you think about it, we had 2 shortened seasons. Kucherov was injured an entire season. Stamkos was injured an entire season. Like, Braden Point's been injured. Like, really, a lot of their superstars haven't played full season,
but also they've met
Patty Maroon is playing
too, though.
What you say, Eric?
But injuries have taken, like, you know, we don't know, like, Braden, I forget what Braden Point injured, but I was reading about how, you know, that specific area is more troublesome than most other injuries, because you might not come back 100% on it, so there's always
what is it even
like, something to do with his
ankle, isn't it?
Ankle, I think, yeah.
The way he went into the board against the Leafs,
playing on a sprained ankle, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Draisaitl was another level this playoffs too. Yeah, credit where credit's due. It's not McDavid Draisaitl's fault that Edmonton lost. It's everything, or them too, and maybe Kane, maybe Hyman too. You know, those top 4 or 5 guys on Edmonton.
Mike Smith. It's definitely Mike Smith's fault.
I mean, can we?
It's not really Mike Smith's fault, considering he's 40.
No. Let's talk about something for a second, because I want to talk about this. So someone put together, basically counted every single time a goalie touched the puck in the playoffs this season. Okay, I think we sent it in the group chat. Yeah. I think Luke sent it in the group chat, and the fact that Mike Smith touch the puck the most while also having the worst percentage of plays that ended up exiting the zone just shows how bad of a puck handler he really is and how badly Edmonton is misusing him. Like every GM, he touches the puck so much it helps their defenseman not get hit and all this shit. Well, it also helps the other team get the puck way more often in your offensive zone or your defensive zone and keep it in it.
Yeah. People see a player like a goalie that plays the puck and they think he's a good playmaker because he plays the puck and then all that data shows is now he's actually really good at giving other people the puck.
Yep. So, and it's like and Mike Smith was so absurdly bad. Like it was everyone else is kind of in the top two quadrants where they're playing the puck at least quite a bit and then having like a decent success rate of getting it out, and then Mike Smith's just all the way at the bottom, so far below anyone else. The only other goalie I think that had a problem with getting the puck out was Colorado's goalie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Kemper.
Exactly. So it was Kemper, but Kemper touched the puck like 70% less.
Kemper knows that he shouldn't be.
He knows he shouldn't touch the puck, so he doesn't touch the puck. He lets Colorado's defensemen, who are pretty agile, good with the puck, good at skating, actually some of the best in the league at it, do that instead. So maybe it's. Part it might not all be Mike Smith's fault in the sense that he's doing it because he's probably being told to do it, right? But it's clearly a strategic flaw that Edmonton needs to adjust for. So anyways, that's all I wanted to say on that matter because I don't think we got a chance to talk about it.
And there was a tweet made by Pete Blackburn who talks about Mike Smith, and it was a really good, was a really good tweet. I'm going to try to find it. But it was essentially being like, there's good goalies, bad goalies, and great goalies. Mm-hmm. And he said, the difference is like bad goalies can, it's not about whether they can make stops. It's whether, but if they can make stops at key moments.
Yep.
And Mike Smith can't make stops at key moments. Therefore, he is a bad goalie. And I was like, that is the best way that I've seen it like broken down into being like, yes.
And I think that's the issue that, Leafs fans had with Frederik Andersen for the longest time, which is, he was great at many points. And then,
he was better than Mike Smith at all points.
Yeah, at all points, but except for his last season with the Leafs, which was kind of atrocious. But other than that, years and years of being really, really great, and then the playoffs making some key mistakes, kind of what they did with, same thing with like Jake Gardner and all this other stuff that happened. Yeah. But anyways, that is a good point.
These arguments. Okay, so basically, what it is someone said Mike Smith is the reason it wasn't 6-2. And Pete said, actually, he's the reason it was 3-2. These arguments are stupid. Really good goalies make stops they're not supposed to. Good goalies stop everything they're supposed to. Bad goalies let in backbreaking goals. Mike Smith is more often than not a bad goalie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that's the best way I've seen it worded.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And now we'll get back into the show.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't have anything else to say about like Edmonton series or Rangers series. No. Really, I think the only other thing that Tampa was kind of interesting was, I think it was Drew Livingston. He works for Sportsnet. He's like, fun fact: only 4 NHL teams have playoff streaks over 4 seasons long. Martin, Luke, do you guys think you can guess who the 4 teams are that have playoff streaks over 4 seasons long? It's 4 teams.
And when? Since when?
In the last 4 years.
Oh.
Who are the only 4 teams that have playoff streaks that are over 4 seasons long? There's 4 teams. Can you guys guess? I can't hear you, Martin.
You're muted, Martin.
Like made the playoffs, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Abs?
Abs, yep.
Tampa.
Tampa.
Were you counting Tampa as one?
Yes. So Colorado won, Tampa's one. There's two other.
Are we counting the play-in as one? No, because the play-in, I'm not sure if the play-in counts as one.
Toronto.
Toronto's not one of them because they missed the playoffs and the play-ins.
Yeah.
Oh, the play.
Yeah, I literally was talking about that and you just kept going Toronto. I don't think it's Florida.
Nope.
Probably, maybe Pittsburgh.
Think about it.
No, Pittsburgh didn't get out of the play-ins.
Yeah,
Carolina?
Right. Nope, not Carolina.
No?
Edmonton? Louis.
Nope.
No, it's not Edmonton.
No, Edmonton missed the playoffs like last season. Or is it
St. Louis.
Before?
Dallas?
St. Louis?
Dallas.
Nope.
St. Louis?
Nope.
Minnesota?
Nope.
Okay, dude, now we're running out of teams. What are you talking
Washington
about?
Washington and Boston are the only other team.
Oh, I totally forgot about those two.
and then it says before you reply at the bottom, Nashville, Pittsburgh, and Toronto streaks all ended when they lost their 2020 qualifying round series.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
All awful losses. Like Pittsburgh was awful.
Yep. Toronto's was awful. Nashville wasn't really awful.
No. Yeah. Nashville's on a downturn.
I mean, Nashville's on a downturn, and then they also just signed Jeremy Luzon to a 4-year, $8 million contract for $2 million a year for 4 years for a guy that's barely a third-pairing defenseman. Like, it's embarrassing. Yes. I don't know what's – like, I think we've had this conversation before, but David Poyne was a great GM for a short amount of time, and then – just, I don't know what he's done over the last 3-4 years, but he's just lost it. Like, just bad contracts, no good moves. Like, just, anyways, don't want to.
He'll get fired soon.
Yeah, but anyways, won't get into that.
Dude, he's been there his entire career. I don't know if he's going to get fired.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, everyone gets fired in this.
He's been there 27 years. or something. Ever since Nashville was founded. Does he own the team? No, but he obviously is like the son of whoever the owner is or something.
It's like dating the dude's daughter. There's some sort of connection.
Boyle got blackmail or something. Yo, Snowball, shut up.
Stupid.
Okay, so the Avs Tampa series. Let's talk about
So who? Okay, so Martin, who do you? Or let's start with Luke, since Martin's dog's yapping. who do you think's gonna win, and what's your series prediction?
Okay, my heart tells me, my heart and brain both say the Avalanche, and I want to say the Avs in six. Mm-hmm. I've watched them play, they've looked consistently better than what Tampa has looked like, I think, throughout the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think they do come from a weaker division. I don't care who wins. I would like to see a different team win at the same time.
No, man. I want to see history.
Yeah, I want to see a three-peat.
I kind of want to see a three-peat.
Like, I want to see history.
We've gotten a lot of back-to-back champions, or like multiple team winners. Like Pittsburgh's won back-to-back. We had Chicago win three and five. We saw LA win 2 and 4, or whatever it was. Like, we've seen dynasties kind of, but we haven't seen this before. And it's like, my one condition on that is I think there's haters have given an asterisk to Tampa for their last two cups, which I don't think is fair. I think this is just put like, I think they've already put the icing on the cake. I think they've already sealed the deal with getting to the third place.
Yeah, but there are people that do put asterisks on some of their cups.
Yeah. I don't really care.
They're a dynasty already. Like, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think Avs have much competition coming up in the West. Like, I think the three-headed beast in the East is in the East, which is probably Toronto, Tampa, and maybe Florida, or maybe Pittsburgh. I don't, like, Pittsburgh's kind of ending. So, like, I would definitely say the dominant teams are in Pittsburgh's the East. Pittsburgh's probably done.
Pittsburgh, I mean, it depends on what happens this offseason, but Malkin and Letang both staying.
New York, if they make moves, could move around, because they have an all-world
yeah, they have the goalie.
All-world goalie.
That's all you really need. So, I don't really care who wins. I want to see good hockey. I would like to see seven games. I'm okay with either. Like, if Avs win, I'll be happy for the Avs. If Tampa wins, I'm just happy to see legacy, dynasty, and fucking, like, absolute an amazing team that could probably run it back again next year.
Tampa could run it back again for two more years after this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's actually insane. Like, they don't have to tear down everything down, really. Like, it's absurd. No. Like, they'll be able to make things work cap-wise. They have some issues coming up. But
their ability
lose plot.
Yeah.
They're going to lose some guys, and I'm not saying they're going to be as good.
Plot's being big.
Yeah. They're not going to be as good. Like, they're going to continually get a little bit worse, most likely, especially because their prospects coming up, you know, they don't have a lot there. But
one of the things I think Tampa has done really well is, as they've won, they've signed Corey Perry, they've signed Bogosian, they've signed Maroons too, but I think what they've done really well is they fill out their third and fourth bottom, like their third and fourth lines, but they don't fill them out with guys who are cup chasing.
Yep.
And I think a lot of teams that start winning sign cup chasers, which I think is the wrong direction to go. Tampa's really good at filling up their team with unrealized talent. And really good at paying the price for
guys
them
too.
Yeah.
They haven't been attaching themselves to like third line guys and giving them $4 million. Like, they just haven't. Like, and that's never happened. Pittsburgh's made that mistake. Chicago made tons of those mistakes. Detroit made a shit ton of those mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, LA made a shit ton of those mistakes. Like, all those teams did. Tampa's the first dynasty in the salary cap era to not have made many of these mistakes. Yes, McDonald's not the greatest cap hit. You know, there's a couple other like little things like that, but generally
people love McDonough,
Tampa fans love McDonough. You know, the coaches love, like, everyone loves McDonough. I don't think it's the greatest deal in the world, but whatever. You know, that's one deal. Yeah. You know, like, you don't lose a team off of one deal.
Just one sec.
Yeah.
So, watching Sportsnet Live right now, and they have the four panelists, literally yeah. right next to each other. And that's the first time I've seen it in a long time. And that's pretty awesome. Like, they're literally
because they're
like
in America.
Yeah, they're literally less than a foot away from each other. Mm. Like, they're shoulder to shoulder. And it's like, wow. That's what it used to be all the time.
It just looks weird now.
Yeah, it just looks weird. COVID denier Martin over here. Yeah,
So what I was going to say is I agree with Luke. I think this is actually the first time, I think, in the salary cap era that the odds makers have gotten, like, the two top favorites to win the cup have ended up in the finals.
Dude, I've wanted this final the last 2 years. And the one year I don't put Everyone it in my NHL bracket it. Challenge, I don't get it. This has been my finals the last 2 years in my bracket challenge. And some fucking Cinderella story like Dallas and Montreal have made it. And now we finally get the one I've been waiting for.
And it's
who'd
it's
you have no in the West? Oh, you had Toronto.
I had Toronto Calgary. I had an all Canada final. I was just blind faith this year. I normally do a bracket challenge where I put Leafs in the finals and winning, and then I do one for real.
This year he had blind faith in the Leafs.
Yeah,
and that's what you get for having blind faith. So,
What are your predictions?
I think Tampa's gonna win. I want a three-peat, and I think they're gonna have a three-peat. I think Colorado's going to struggle without Kadri. I think Kadri's a huge part of that team. You know, they didn't necessarily need him for Edmonton, but Edmonton isn't Tampa, and Braden Point's a big swing in that series because you got, you know, their top, that top, Colorado's top six, great, but without Kadri, they got a big hole in 2C/3C, and I think Tampa can outdo them from the center. I think the goaltending is the biggest issue, though. Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's Francois/Kemper, and, you know, both have been good goalies in the past, but have not shown anything. And Colorado's been dismantling teams despite their goaltending. Tampa's been dismantling teams partly because of their goaltending. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and I think goaltending has consistently shown that the team with the better goaltending tends to win the series.
Colorado's going from Nashville's backup goalie, who was not even should be an NHL backup goalie,
mm-hmm.
Binghamton, who debatable if he's a NHL starting goalie, and then fucking Mike Smith.
Yeah,
exactly. And now they're facing the best goalie in the league, who is probably a top two goalie of all time. So,
you're already putting him that high on your all time list.
Vasilevsky,
man, I almost have him as my top one.
Is in a top three goalies of all time, probably.
Yeah. He's 27, and
he's already won two cups. He's been in the finals.
He's, and he could win this year. Like, and if they win this year, he's probably Conn Smythe. Like,
yeah, I think he deserves Conn Smythe right now for Tampa. Yeah, I agree. I think he could easily go down as one of the top goalies of all time. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Shesterkin, though, because Shesterkin can take a lot of trophies away from him over the next couple of years, where he would have probably won a couple more Vezinas. So,
yeah.
We'll see. But regardless, yeah.
Did you say your number of games?
No, I didn't. So I still think it's going to go to 7, and I want it to go to 7, so I think that's influencing it more than, like...
You think Tampa's going to win in Colorado?
Yeah, so I think Tampa's going to win. I don't know. I just don't see Colorado overcoming the goaltending issue and Kadri. You know, one of those things, maybe both is difficult. And they're missing Sam Girard, too. Can't forget that.
Yep.
Then that's a big L for them on the back end, too. You know, if you're playing
Kadri
Jack
and Girard...
You know,
like, that's huge.
You're playing Jack Johnson in your top six, you're going to have issues. and you haven't had to deal with that too much yet because you've been playing weaker teams. Tampa just comes at you and comes at you and comes at you from all four lines. When they're all four lines are going,
Jack Johnson look silly. Like, Cooper is probably one of the best matching coaches.
Exactly.
There is.
He'll get the matchups he wants.
He out-chest matched Girard. That's part of the reason they got dismantled.
Exactly. So, Yeah, so I just don't see Tampa. I mean, obviously Tampa could lose, but I just think that they have all the advantages. I'd be putting them at, like, you know, a couple percentage points higher than Colorado in chances of winning.
I have Tampa in six. Yeah, pretty much all the reasons I've mentioned and Eric's mentioned. Vasilevskiy, he's just exponentially better. Like, he's just so much better. And if he has a big season, big series, like, boom. I could see Colorado winning the first two games, honestly, because that just seems like Tampa's MO right now. Let the other team feel like they can do something, and then, boom, come back and stomp all over them. Or I could feel if Colorado loses game one, I could see Tampa taking it in five.
I mean, Tampa's been away for each game that they've started so far in the playoffs.
Tampa's been away, had away every game.
Yeah.
Every so I think, series.
Yeah. You know, game one, they're probably
would they be the first team to ever do that, or no?
I don't know. I have honestly no idea.
So. No, because LA Kings were the eighth seed.
Yeah,
LA was eighth. So that's probably not.
Like, but yeah, it's a big thing. It's surprising they were away against New York.
Yeah, it's because of the dumb rules around this evening. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to say about you guys. Want to move on to the coaching stuff?
Yeah,
we can.
So someone tweeted this and I thought it was really funny. So it's like, you know, that Simpsons meme where it's like the principal of the school going like, am I the reason for the issue? And then he goes, no, it's something else. You know, you know what meme I'm talking about? It's like this one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, the person tweets, the New York Islanders and Boston Bruins front offices debriefing this offseason. It says, am I the reason for my team's shortcomings? And then it's, no, it's the highly respected and sought after head coaches that are at fault. So obviously for everyone listening, you know, Barry Trotz / Bruce Cassidy both fired. Bruce Cassidy's was quite a bit weirder, in my opinion. Just because
it is weird.
Islanders missed the playoffs, had a bad season, coach gets fired. That happens, even though Barry Trotz has been unreal up until literally last season. But Bruce Cassidy has, you know, the Bruins have had over the last, like, since Bruce Cassidy took charge, the Bruins have had the best expected goals percentage throughout the regular season in the NHL. And led it last year. So, like, he's done everything he can as a coach, basically, to get the best out of the roster. I don't understand the firing. What did happen was, I forget which player tweeted, but he said, but he was like subtweeting the Bruins and Bruce Cassidy, saying a lot of fan, you know, something along on. I think it was Andrew Raycroft, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was
basically saying, you know. The media and fans don't see how much a coach is liked or respected inside the locker room. Like something subtweeting.
Yeah, it was like something like just because a coach is well liked by media
and fans doesn't
and
mean
fans doesn't mean they're well liked by the coach.
Yeah, like by the yeah, yeah exactly. So I think he was referring. It seemed like he was referring to Bruce Cassidy and inferring that players in the Bruins locker room didn't like Cassidy. So, you know, none of us have any idea if that's true or not. All we can speak to is the fact that they've all played extremely well under him, generally speaking, and he's gotten great results out of them. So,
but based on Marchand and his opinion on advanced analytics, you could see how maybe, like, obviously he has a good voice in the locker room, so you could see how his opinion. But, like, I'm not saying Marchand didn't like Cassidy, but
yeah,
you could see how it might be there's an opinion, hey, Cassidy sucks, or, like, we need
maybe
a different force.
I don't know. It still feels a little weird because they've had such great team success, so it's like, why would you be against...
No, they've had a great first-line success.
That's fair. I mean, he brought them to the Cup Finals, you know, Conference Finals, and...
He did well. First round exit. And... He got a job right away in Vegas, yeah. Like immediately in Vegas. And they fired DeBoer and probably had someone already in mind before Casty got fired.
Yeah. Yeah. They're probably going to go after Trotz or something. And then they're like, oh, okay. This will work. Holy shit. So, I mean, I think the other thing that was people were talking about was the fact that Pasternak, like, there was a lot of chatter on Twitter about Pasternak being a trade option. And it seemed like it had something to do with, like, him being angry more at Sweeney than it was at coaching, because he's traded away a bunch of Czech players and stuff like that. And people were reportedly saying Pasternak didn't like that. And that's why he hasn't gone, you know, that's why an extension isn't in the works and everything right now. And that's why there's all this trade talk. I have no idea if that's true or not, but I don't know if that had some impact on it. I don't know yet, but yeah, I don't know. The Prime doesn't make any sense. Bruce Cassidy has been amazing. The Bruins issues has nothing to do with coaching, in my opinion. It's everything to do with, like, some of the dumb moves. Like, who was it? Who did the Bruins give, like, a stupid contract to on the defensive side? Was it Tucker Pullman? Someone pull up their cap friendly and remind me. It's not Tucker Pullman.
It's a bunch of guys, man.
Yeah, there's just a couple dumb contracts that have been given out, and they were, like, immediately dumb. Like, the second they were given out, you're just like, what are you doing? It's not one of those deals where it was like, oh, it looks
good. Wasn't it Lindholm?
What?
Lindholm?
No, I mean, Lindholm wasn't a great deal, but, like, I can see why that type of deal would happen. But there was another one. I don't know.
Carlo?
No. Who else is on the defensive side? Maybe he was bought out.
Mike Riley?
No, Mike Riley's good.
Greslick?
Nope.
Derek Forbert.
Yes, Derek Forbert. Thank you. That's who it was. Okay, yeah. I was thinking Washington.
You got the same contract as Mike Riley got.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and Mike Riley is actually a good offensive defenseman. But Derek Forbert, there's just, like, dumb deals being given out. I don't think Boston needed Lindholm as well. And I think the deal that they gave him was way too big for what he currently is and what he probably will be. And the forward, like, no center depth in the Bruins organization. Like, it's Bergeron and nothing.
Well, now it's nothing and nothing.
Yeah, now it's literally nothing. They have no centers. So it's like, and Bruce Cassidy still brought them to the top team in terms of expected goals in the NHL this year. Like, that's unbelievable. That's actually an amazing, that's pure coaching right there.
Yeah.
Like,
that just shows there's something wrong. Like, there was something wrong.
I think it has to mean that players didn't like him or management is just stupid.
Which is ridiculous. Like, I don't know if players per se supposed to like your coach.
Yeah. I get, like, wanting the players to, like, at least, like, respect the coach. I don't know about liking the coach. There are different things. Like, you have to have players that are going to listen and vibe.
If they don't respect the coach, though, at that point, they have problems because –
He's done a great job. It doesn't make any sense. And then on the other news, like we mentioned,
so did we talk about Vegas hiring him?
No,
we didn't.
I think that's a great hire.
Yeah, I mean, it's Vegas. Vegas does consistently,
Vegas things.
Generally speaking, makes
Vegas got fucked this year, and they could easily come back next year.
They could
be a cup favorite.
Yeah, they only have another year or two left, really, because a lot of their guys are teetering 100%. On the edge of starting to fall off. So they,
especially Bruce Cassidy, is the
perfect guy to bring in. I think his play style, or not his play style, but his coaching style, and the way the Bruins played fits really well with Vegas's players, generally speaking. I don't think DeBoer deserved to be fired in the first place, to be honest, but regardless, he was. So
hence why he got a job right away.
DeBoer.
Sorry.
I was like, who the fuck are you talking about?
What did I say?
Like DeBoer or something like that.
I don't think so. Did I?
It definitely wasn't DeBoer.
Okay, whatever. I didn't think he deserved to be fired, but I think Bruce Cassidy is a great guy to bring in. I also think it's a good opportunity for him to work with Eichel and get him, like, back to being peak Eichel. kind of like the best we've ever seen out of Bergeron was more or less under Bruce Cassidy. Like Bergeron was fantastic before Bruce Cassidy for sure, but a lot of Bergeron's best years came at the end of his career or under Bruce Cassidy.
Pretty much in prime Eichel time.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's getting him prime Eichel.
He's getting a long break too.
Yeah, this is his
time.
He's
played some games. Yeah,
exactly. And I think Bruce Cassidy also
could be
brought the best out of McAvoy too. So getting the best out of maybe Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore will be big on his
studio. Theodore is huge.
Right? And Mark Stone could be again a, you know, Selke finalist under Bruce Cassidy as well, I think. So I think there's a lot
of basically Eric thinks Vegas is going to win the cup next year.
not quite win the cup, but I think they're definitely back in the playoffs next year with Bruce Cassidy. I'd make a bet on that. I'd make a for sure bet on that too.
Yeah,
and I'd take bad odds on that without a doubt.
I feel like there won't be bad odds. Like there shouldn't.
No, there won't be bad odds. They're going to have a very good over under. Like
yeah,
it's not going to be like over under 90 points or something stupid. Yeah. Be like 98 or something. I don't know.
How about Tortorella in Philly though? I feel like that's a not good call.
That's an interesting decision. He's going to get Cam Atkinson back who didn't like Tortorella.
No, it's Atkinson that loves Tortorella. Everything I've heard is Cam Atkinson's the reason Tortorella's getting hired in Philly.
Really? I was under the impression he didn't like him. Maybe. All right, I'm wrong.
No, I think you're 100% wrong on that one, dude.
Maybe.
But the other thing is Tortorella is a coach to get you over the top type thing, and Philly is a bottom team.
I mean, the other reports were Trotz coming in to Philly.
Yeah, I know.
And I think Trotz made more sense because Trotz is the guy you want to take an average group and grind them down and get them to grind.
Yes.
They grind out.
Tortorella is taking
a better team. Yeah.
Further, he's going to do with an average team. They probably won't make playoffs next year if Tortorella is coach. Like,
yeah. I mean, if Trotz came in, I think we'd all be fairly confident with Philly having a chance to make the playoffs as long as they did some of the right stuff in the offseason.
Like, I
don't have a lot of faith that Tortorella getting them to the playoffs next season.
I don't see Provorov flourishing under Tortorella.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
And you need Provorov to flourish.
Yeah.
You need him.
Yeah, and that's the one thing Trotz did better than, like, he brought back Pulak and Adam Pelech. Like, those two became some of the best defensemen in the NHL under Trotz. And they weren't on that trajectory before he arrived. Like, they were going to make, you know, they're going to be fine defensemen, but they were not on the trajectory of being top pairing guys that could potentially be playing for Team Canada. You know, that was not the trajectory they were on 3 years ago, right?
Trotz, this is a classic. If Tortorella is hired, this is a classic ownership not realizing where and when a team is at.
Yeah. But I also don't know why Trotz would have ever taken the job in Philly unless he was going to get paid an absurd amount of money. Huh?
Trotz, I don't know. I feel like
Trotz is going to take a job. Why wouldn't he take a job with, like, who's, like, Vegas would be. Vegas isn't a great fit because they have a lot of, you know, for his style. But, like, there's so many teams out there. Like, Boston would be a great fit for Trotz if Bergeron came back.
If Vegas had any interest in Trotz, I feel like based on how quickly they got that Cassidy deal done, they offered Trotz a deal, and Trotz said, no, was on the fence. And then Cassidy came up and
they were just like, no, we got to get this guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it never made sense to me why Trotz would want to go to the Flyers unless he was interested in another.
As a Leafs fan, honestly, would have been okay with Leafs hiring Cassidy. Like, I know there's only a couple coaches I like more than Keefe, but I mean, I think Cassidy is one of them.
Yeah, if there's like there's only a few coaches in the NHL where I like really trust them over Keefe, and it's like John Cooper, Sullivan, Mike Sullivan,
Cooper,
Barry Trotz, even though Barry Trotz doesn't really fit with Toronto, but Bruce Cassidy, that's kind of more or less it. like those are the guys. Or
Jared Bednar. Maybe.
Jared Bednar, yeah, that was my other guy too. Like those are the only guys.
I don't know. I'm still not convinced on Bednar.
Well, I think this playoff, and I think this playoff series is really where we're going to see if he's a great coach or not. Because he's got to outcoach John Cooper here. He's got to, there's a lot that he has to overcome. Kadri being gone, goaltending, like we talked about. But yeah.
If there was people that I think could handle the Toronto market, it would definitely be Sullivan, Cassidy, and Cooper.
Yeah.
Cooper would be fun in a Toronto market, I think. You good, Martin?
Yeah.
Listening to some Taylor Swift?
Just watching some TikToks?
Yeah, probably. All right. Well, the game's on, boys, so I think we should go start watching that.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else we need to talk about. Was there anything we missed?
No, I don't think so.
The only thing I wanted to bring up was tongue-in-cheek, which was Nick sending that fact that no team has ever won the Stanley Cup with a player making over $10 million, to which Eric and I both said correlation does not equal causation. What, Tampa's got three players making like mid-nines?
Yeah.
What's the difference between
it's like that extra couple $100,000, that's where it prevents people
plus, from winning. Plus Tampa gets, like Tampa obviously gets the discount.
Yeah.
Oh, one more $600,000 deal for income tax.
One more thing, because this became really big on a TikTok. McDavid holding some girl's hands in a video. Oh, you guys see this?
Yeah, I did.
I think people are saying it's before he was dating his girlfriend. I don't actually know.
They're trying to say it's old, but he looks like pretty similar age.
Do you guys know what to believe with that?
Like, is it?
Yeah, like I don't believe those people that are saying it's old. Plus, he's been with that girl for like 4+ years. Like, he didn't have a beard 4+ years ago. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I thought the same That's thing. Sketchy, like, man. He looks kind That's of like sketchy. He does look like right now.
And he looks at that camera and he's like, uh oh.
Yeah, but he keeps like holding the girl's hand too. So I don't know.
I know.
So it's like,
because the girl also like looks at the camera and she's like, you can tell she's like, hey dude, like look at that, because she knows what she's doing, like she knows who it is.
This girl, Kaylee, she actually posted some good tweets, but she said, guys, McDavid wasn't cheating, he was just circumventing the cap after facing his girlfriend on LTIR.
Oh my gosh. Bro, I mean, okay, this is what I think. All these players cheat. Like that's just like, I assume the worst from all of them. I don't expect star like behavior. I don't expect model behavior. Like, I don't know. Would you rather have them cheat in public or cheat in private? I don't know. I'm sure
it's a little bit more special to do it in private.
Every girl, I'm sure.
Like, walking in the middle of the street, holding some girl like in a bright pink shirt.
Yeah. But I'm sure like every girl who's engaged or married for the most part feels these types of insecurities. And, you know, I've heard things about specific fan bases in Toronto and star players in Toronto doing the same thing. I'm sure all of them signed NDAs. I'm sure as soon as she got or he got her wherever he wanted to go with her, she signed an NDA. But unfortunately, the Twitter person who uploaded the video did not sign an NDA. So, yeah, I don't know. I just assume that they all cheat. I assume that all the girlfriends know that they cheat. That's just the life.
It's just what I imagine. Life of dating a professional athlete. I bet if you
anyone famous,
like Luke's belief.
I bet if there was a stat which is like. I think the percentage of marriages after like 30, 40 years or whatever, where one of the partners cheated is something like 50%. I bet for athletes, it's like 70, 80. It must be like, we need like someone
to go on this to come like, out.
We need a poll. We need some stats agency come out and get those numbers. Well, but I guess
West Head needs to get in. Fuck the Chicago stuff. Rick, we need you on this.
I think were you the one? You were the one that sent the, story, the Instagram story with like some NHL player had like a lineup of girls coming out his door. Or whatever,
yeah. It was like, a Twitter. It was like some Twitter. Come in,
he'd bang them, and then they'd leave, and then he'd bring him the next girl, and bring him the next girl. It was just like a
that was pretty funny.
And it's like a current captain right now. I think it's like a captain of a team, and it's like over a spreadsheet.
People were seeing it was Jonathan Toews and a lot. I felt.
She seems meticulous.
If you scrolled down, it was Jamie Benn was getting a lot of love too.
Oh, okay.
On that one.
I've seen a couple screenshots from people posting the DMs Jamie Benn sent them, like a bunch of girls that have. So could be.
He's getting the advice from Tyler. Yeah.
Like I don't know. I just assume if you are rich and an athlete, girls already like athletes. They like rich people. I mean, this is just common. This is not a
girls like athletes. They like fame.
They like
people.
Rich people. They like status. Yeah. These are all just, you know, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm, you know, like who you like, whatever. I don't really care. But the concoction of all those four things and then the availability for ugly or average looking guys to get with girls that are way beyond their league. I mean, I'm not saying I do, but I'm saying I would 100% be tempted if I was getting all that action or attention to be like, yep, you know what? No girlfriend.
Yep.
I'm not saying I'm right. Agree. I'm definitely saying I'm wrong. but I would definitely be tempted. I don't know what I would do, but until that happens, which will never happen, that's how I feel.
There's temptation.
It's a lot of tech, especially really because they're going to all these different cities. Their girlfriends slash wives aren't there. They're going to a club or bar afterwards. You know,
rumors is like every guy has at least one or two girls in every area code, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, and or if they're not, like, why not
I've
fly them out?
Known girls that were those girls.
yeah. So I mean, we all know that this happens. My belief is that people don't care. I think cheating has become a little bit more normalized, sadly, unfortunately. I mean, I think it's very different though.
Depends
like,
how
you know,
you never see monogamy though.
If you're in a committed relationship with someone and your rules are no cheating, then the rules should be no cheating.
Yeah.
If you're in a polygamous relationship, or if you want to cheat, just be in a polygamous relationship, be in an open relationship, find someone who's willing to do that.
Good luck finding a polygamous relationship.
Well, I mean, if women are willing to cheat or be the person that the guy cheats with, then they should be open to being polygamous. That's just my logic.
Except they usually aren't.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, I know. I know that, but that's the logic.
Just like
I find it really interesting because you never see guys like throwing themselves at famous women. Someone just scored Colorado. Yeah.
Oh, that's because they can't. Well, guys do, but like, and you hear about stalking.
Yeah, you just
no.
can't.
Okay, no. Guys are not going to go to an Ariana concert and like wait outside of her tour bus throwing them. Like, the only people that do that are probably guys who
are creepy stalkers.
Straight.
Yeah.
No, like I'm just saying, like, I don't think straight men would go to an Ariana concert, Grande concert, and then try to fuck her after. You know, like,
yeah,
I
wouldn't even find Ariana Grande one of the better ones to go after.
Okay,
realistically, no female celebrity would want to hook up with some dude that stalked her outside of her concert. Where
they're all going for the better.
But it's weird. That's my point, it's weird that guys want to do that.
Guys go down in social status. Girls don't, as like typically on average, don't. Right, like that's just the reality of the world, and you know.
Concur.
I get why they would do it. Like, it doesn't, like, if I were a girl, I wouldn't want to date someone below me. Although it does get hard when you're Ariana Grande to find a guy that isn't beneath you, but that's all a conversation. You know? But yeah. So it doesn't make, I mean, it just, like, guys can't do the same thing or girls in most aspects. Unless you're a Pete Davidson.
Plus, they get called creepy, like, right off the bat.
Yeah. I mean, you would think they were creepy if they're waiting outside of an Ariana Grande concert trying to meet her to try to hook up. Like, you'd just be like, that's a stalker right there. Give me a restraining order immediately.
You see these memes all the time, but it's the girl on Tinder asks the guy what's his height and then says it. And then she's like, oh, awesome. And then the guy asks her weight and she's why are you asking? And he's like, why'd you ask me my height?
It is very, like, it's crazy. And then there's like, if you're going to message me, please use something that's better than hey. And then every message I've gotten,
every girl message is hi. It's always hi or hey. It's
like, if I've ever gotten a message starting off a conversation on Tinder or anything like that, it's always
hi hey.
Or every match on Bumble is hey.
It's some generic like message that a guy would send. It's never like something creative.
It goes to show that neither girls or guys are actually creative. All of us are just stupid, uncreative.
Oh, it's 2-0 Colorado.
Yeah, just scored again.
Hey, we all know it. We all know it. Tampa's gonna lose game one. Come back. Might lose like game two. Like I said,
lose two games. Come back.
All right, I'm going to go. I want to watch this. Only Martin can watch this right now. Yep. Bye, everybody. We love you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.